Jaya Radha Madhava Kumsha Vihari Gopichana Vallabha Girivadadhari Gopichana Vallabha Girivadadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Sitarasata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gora Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Jagannapuri Dham Ki Jai, Dwarka Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. So we will continue with the reading of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We were in the chapter Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna within the womb. I think in order to get through the reading about Lord Krishna's actual appearance within the time we have scheduled for this reading, we're going to have to skip over some of the prayers. So, beginning from where we left off yesterday, Kamsa, however, saw the transcendental beauty of his sister Devaki And he at once concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken shelter in her womb. She had never before looked so wonderfully beautiful. He could distinctly understand that there was something wonderful within the womb of Devaki. In this way, Kamsa became perturbed. He was sure that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would kill him in the future, and that he had now come. Kamsa began to think, what is to be done with Devaki? Surely she has Vishnu or Krishna within her womb. So it is certain that Krishna has come to execute the mission of the demigods. And even if I immediately kill Devaki, his mission cannot be frustrated. Krishna knew very well that no one can frustrate the purpose of Vishnu. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of God cannot be violated. His purpose will be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demons. Kamsa thought, if I kill Devaki at the present moment, Vishnu will enforce his supreme will more vehemently. To kill Devaki just now would be a most abominable act. No one desires to kill his reputation, even in an awkward situation. If I kill Devaki now, my reputation will be spoiled. Devaki is a woman, and she is under my shelter. She is pregnant, and if I kill her immediately, all my reputation, the result of pious activities and duration of life, will be finished. Of course, Kamsa had already killed six sons of Devaki, as we were hearing in previous day's reading. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the complete edition, we learn, those sons had an interesting history. They originally were six sons of the sage Marichi, at the very beginning of creation, at the beginning of the Kalpa, the beginning of the day of Brahma. And at that time, they created some offense against Lord Brahma. And for that, they were cursed to take birth as the six sons of the demon Hiranyakashipu. And then after that, they were taking birth. They took birth again as six sons of the demon named Kalanemi. And at that time, they had tried to perform some austerities to get the pleasure of Lord Brahma, to get some benediction from Lord Brahma. And for that, they were cursed by Hiranyakashipu. He cursed them that they would be killed in some future birth by their own father, Kalanemi. So that Kalanemi became King Kamsa, at the time of Lord Krishna's pastimes. And the six sons of Kalanemi, the demon Kalanemi, they became the six sons of Devaki, to fulfill this particular curse that they would be killed by their own father, Kamsa. So our acharyas explain that these six sons can be understood symbolically as the six sinful mentalities, kama, krodha, loba, moha, mada, and matsarya. In other words, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. So these bad qualities have to be removed, from the devotee's heart, before Krishna can appear. So this Kamsa, you know, our acharyas say, can be symbolically understood as fear, material fear, fear of these, you know, enemies of the soul. You know, madness, illusion, anger, envy, greed, and so on. So this fear is actually good, because if by this fear we can, you know, kill these demoniac mentalities in our heart, then that prepares the way for, you know, Krishna to appear. As we've heard, you know, Kamsa did kill these six sons of Devaki. Later, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn that Krishna and his brother Balaram were requested by Devaki to do something. You know, she told them, once you retrieve the son of your guru, Sandipani Muni, from the lower planets, you know, where the soul had gone after death. So Krishna and Balaram had received instruction from, you know, their guru, Sandipani Muni, and it's customary that after receiving instruction from the guru, one should give some kind of dakshin, some kind of gift, you know, to the guru. So he requested them, please, you know, retrieve my son, you know, who died, you know, untimely. So they did that. So Devaki, later, when Krishna and Balaram were, you know, grown up, you know, said, well, you retrieved, you know, the son of your guru. Maybe you could retrieve, you know, my six sons. So the six sons had gone to one of the lower planets. You know, after having been killed by, you know, Kamsa, they went to Sutala, the planet where Bali Maharaj was in charge. So Krishna and Balaram went, you know, down to the Sutala planet, and they requested Bali Maharaj to release, you know, these six sons of Devaki, you know, from their position. So then Krishna and Balaram took them back to Devaki, and she was able to see them. And then, you know, they were transferred back to their original position in the heavenly planets, you know, where they'd started out. So there's a whole history to, you know, this event, you know, the killing of these, you know, six sons of Devaki that we just heard about. Because now Kamsa is meditating on what to do about this next child, who is obviously Krishna. So he also further deliberated. A person who is too cruel, even in this lifetime, is as good as dead. No one likes a cruel person during his lifetime, and after his death, people curse him. On account of his self-identification with the body, he must be degraded and pushed into the darkest region of hell. Kamsa thus meditated on all the pros and cons of killing Devaki at that time. Kamsa finally decided not to kill Devaki right away, but to wait for the inevitable future. But his mind became absorbed in animosity against the personality of Godhead. He patiently waited for the deliverance of the child, expecting to kill him, as he had done previously with the other babies of Devaki. Thus being merged in the ocean of animosity against the personality of Godhead, he began to think of Krishna and Vishnu while sitting, while sleeping, while walking, while eating, while working, in all the situations of his life. His mind became so much absorbed with the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that indirectly he could see only Krishna or Vishnu around him. Unfortunately, although his mind was so absorbed in the thought of Vishnu, he is not recognized as a devotee because he was thinking of Krishna as an enemy. The state of mind of a great devotee is also to be always absorbed in Krishna, but a devotee thinks of him favorably, not unfavorably. To think of Krishna favorably is Krishna consciousness, but to think of Krishna unfavorably is not Krishna consciousness. Of course, still, because he was constantly meditating on Krishna, he did get a kind of liberation, you know, into the Vaikuntha planets. I think he got Sarupya liberation. Yes. Of course, that's not the way that we want to get that kind of benediction, as stated here. And Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto, you know, always think of me, become my devotee, you know, not my enemy. But still, simply because he was meditating on Krishna so constantly and was killed by Krishna personally, he got the liberation of Sarupya, which means, you know, going to a Vaikuntha planet and getting a spiritual form like that of Krishna and being able to serve Krishna there. At this time, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada and followed by many other demigods, invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. They began to pray for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and select prayers which are very pleasing to the devotees and which award fulfillment of their desires. The first words they spoke acclaimed that the Lord is true to his vow. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends in this material world just to protect the pious and destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods could understand that the Lord had taken his residence within the womb of Devaki in order to fulfill this vow. The demigods were very glad that the Lord was appearing to fulfill his mission, and they addressed him as Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone is searching after the truth. That is the philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious can attain the Absolute Truth. Krishna is the Absolute Truth. Relative truth is not truth in all three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by supreme time in the course of past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. And when there is creation, everything is resting in Krishna. And when the creation is finished, Krishna will remain. Therefore, he is absolute truth in all circumstances. If there's any truth within this material world, it emanates from the supreme truth, Krishna. If there's any opulence within the material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there's any reputation within the material world, the cause of the reputation is Krishna. If there's any strength within the material world, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there's any wisdom and education within the material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truths. So if we see any of these things in this world, and we know they are coming from Krishna, and they are meant to be used in Krishna's service. If they are used in Krishna's service, then the person who possesses these opulences becomes benefited, and the world becomes benefited. But if someone possesses these opulences and doesn't use them in Krishna's service, then it's bad for them and also, you know, bad for the world. Yeah, so if we have any strength or knowledge or beauty or renunciation or any other good qualities, opulences, you know, we should use them totally in Krishna's service, and then we'll be in the safe position. So there are many, many more prayers here, but if we want to get to the birth of Lord Krishna, we're not going to have time to go over them. So we'll just go to the end of this chapter and read some of the final statements of the demigods to in their prayers. Our dear Lord, you are appearing as the best of the Yadu dynasty, and we are offering our respectful, humble obeisances under your lotus feet. Before this appearance, you also appeared as the fish incarnation, the horse incarnation, the tortoise incarnation, the swan incarnation, as King Ramachandra, as Parashuram, and as many other incarnations. You appeared just to protect the devotees, and we request you in your present appearance as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself to give us similar protection all over the three worlds and remove all obstacles for the peaceful execution of our lives. Dear Mother Devaki, within your womb is the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing along with his plenary expansions. He is the original Personality of Godhead appearing for our welfare. Therefore, you should not be afraid of your brother, the King of Bhoja. Your son, Lord Krishna, who is the original Personality of Godhead, will appear for the protection of the pious Yadu dynasty. The Lord is appearing not only alone, but accompanied by his immediate plenary portion, Balaram. Devaki was very much afraid of her brother Kamsa because he had already killed so many of her children. She used to remain very anxious about Krishna. In the Vishnu Purana, it is stated that in order to pacify Devaki, all the demigods, along with their wives, used to always visit her to encourage her not to be afraid that her son would be killed by Kamsa. Krishna, who was within the womb, was to appear not only to diminish the burden of the world, but specifically to protect the interests of the Yadu dynasty, and certainly to protect Devaki and Vasudev. Now, chapter 3, the birth of Lord Krishna. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and one who understands them factually becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the star known as Rohini was also predominant because this star is considered to be very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. So Krishna's birth is not, like, our birth. We are forced to take birth because of our karma, in a particular family, in a particular country. We our body is different, you know, from our real self. You know, dehinos minyata dehe, karmaram yovanam jara, tata dehantara prapti, diras tatra namuyate. In the Bhagavad Gita we learn, you know, the soul, you know, the jiva soul is different, you know, than the body. So, in different lifetimes, the soul, according to its karma, is forced to accept a different, you know, bodily covering. But, you know, Krishna is not like that. You know, his form, his self, you know, they're the same. It's not that Krishna is one thing and he has to accept, you know, a body. He's not different from his form, his spiritual form, his spiritual self, everything. It's all spiritual, all the same. So, when he appears, it's not that he's taking on some form, as we might take on a bodily covering. He's displaying his original transcendental form. And whenever he does that, whenever he enters into this world in one of his transcendental spiritual forms, it's a very auspicious situation. And being that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is able to adjust personally and through his different energies the whole situation, so that the whole world situation becomes very auspicious, as being described here. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky. And on the surface, in all towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. So not only was, you know, the external situation very peaceful, and but within the minds of everyone, there was also, you know, peace and, you know, satisfaction. So this is the result, you know, when, you know, Krishna is, you know, present. Everything becomes, you know, auspicious, both physically and psychologically. The rivers were flowing full of waters, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. And so we have birds today. You know, I take a Java walk every morning, and usually there are lots of crows, you know, out there. And they don't make, you know, such, you know, nice sound. But when Krishna was appearing, there were lots of, you know, birds singing beautiful songs. The winds blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the brahmanas, who were accustomed to offer sacrifice in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Due to disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire altar had been almost stopped in the houses of brahmanas. But now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the brahmanas were very distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can just imagine, of course we can imagine what it's like to be distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities, because this is the Kali Yuga, and, you know, the distress of the mind, distress of the intelligence, and distressful activities are very prominent, you know, in the world. So it was a great relief you know, for these brahmanas, you know, to find that suddenly, you know, the distress within their mind was vanishing, the distress in their intelligence was vanishing, and the distress in their activities that they were being prevented from performing was also vanishing, and they could hear, you know, these transcendental sound vibrations coming down, you know, from the sky, proclaiming the appearance of Krishna. The denizens of the Gandharvas and Kinnara planets began to sing, and the denizens of Siddhaloka and the planets of the Charanas began to offer prayers in the service of the personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planets, the angels, along with their wives, accompanied by the apsaras, began to dance. The great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore, there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea, there were clouds in the sky, which began to thunder very pleasingly. We don't get to hear that, you know, very much here, but you know, in some parts of the world, you know, there are, you can still, you know, sometimes see, you know, these clouds, you know, with a pleasing thunder. So that was the situation when Krishna was appearing, and not only was there a nice situation on this earth, but all over in the different levels of the cosmos, the beings were very happy. Of course, today, yeah, the materialistic scientists, they have a very impoverished, you know, conception of, you know, the cosmos, and they think it's all just rocks and stones and impersonal, you know, gases and voids and things like that. But, you know, here we learned that everything is actually inhabited, and all these different kinds of beings on these different planets, like Gandharvas, Siddhas, Apsaras, they were very pleased that Krishna was appearing. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who also appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared with the full moon in the sky as it rises on the eastern horizon. And we just went through a Purnima, you know, Balaram's appearance day. See, you know, how beautiful the full moon is, you know, when it's rising in the sky. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty wherein the moon is himself, the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition, so by the grace of Krishna he could appear just as a full moon. In an astronomical treatise by the name Kamanikya, the constellations at the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna are very nicely described. It is confirmed that the child born at that auspicious moment was the Supreme Brahman or the Absolute Truth. So how long should we go on? Okay. Vasudev saw that wonderful child born as a baby with four hands holding conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower, decorated with the mark of Srivatsa, wearing the jeweled necklace of Kaustubha stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing a helmet bedecked with the Vaidurya stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, and an abundance of hair on his head. Due to the extraordinary feature of the child, Vasudeva was struck with wonder. How could a newly born child be so decorated? It's normally, you know, when a child is born, screaming, yelling, covered with different kinds of substances, mucus, blood sometimes. It's that's the normal way that a child is born in this world. But as we heard, this is not a normal birth. So Krishna appeared in this beautiful form, decorated with all these splendid ornaments. So Vasudev could therefore understand that Lord Krishna had now appeared. And he became overpowered by the occasion. Vasudev very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity conditioned by material nature and was externally imprisoned by Kamsa, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, was appearing as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. No earthly child is born with four hands, decorated with ornaments and nice clothing, fully equipped with all the signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Over and over again, Vasudev glanced at his child and he considered how to celebrate this auspicious moment. Generally, when a male child is born, he thought, people observe the occasion with jubilant celebrations. And in my home, although I am imprisoned, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken birth. How many millions of times should I be prepared to observe this auspicious ceremony? When Vasudev, who is also called Anakadundubi, was looking at his newborn baby, he was so happy that he wanted to give many thousands of cows in charity to the brahmanas. According to the Vedic system, whenever there is an auspicious ceremony in the Kshatriya's king's palace, the king gives many things in charity. Cows decorated with golden ornaments are delivered to the brahmanas and sages. Vasudev wanted to perform a charitable ceremony to celebrate Krishna's appearance, but because he was shackled within the walls of Kamsa's prison, this was not possible. Instead, within his mind, he gave thousands of cows to the brahmanas. So sometimes, you know, this can, you know, be done. If we're not able to offer a service to Krishna in the normal way because of some unfortunate circumstance, then we can, you know, offer, you know, service within the mind, as, you know, Vasudev was doing here. When Vasudev was convinced that the newborn child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he bowed down with folded hands and began to offer him prayers. At that time, Vasudev was in the transcendental position, and he became completely free from all fear of Kamsa. The newborn baby was also flashing his effulgence within the room in which he appeared. Vasudev then began to offer his prayers. My dear Lord, I can understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities, and the Absolute Truth. You have appeared in your own eternal form, which is directly perceived by us. I understand that because I am afraid of Kamsa, you have appeared just to deliver me from that fear. You do not belong to the material world. You are the same person who brings about the cosmic manifestation simply by glancing over material nature. One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudev. To eradicate this argument, Vasudev said, my dear Lord, it is not a very wonderful thing that you appear within the womb of Devaki, because the creation was also made in that way. You are lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu. And by your breathing process, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhodakshay Vishnu. Then again, you expanded yourself as Shirodakshay Vishnu and entered into the hearts of all living entities and entered even within the atom. Therefore, your entrance in the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. The total material energy remains intact after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but the combination of the five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created, but actually the elements are always existing outside the body. Similarly, although you appear as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the three modes of material energy, but actually the three modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. We hear from the Vedic version that the Supreme Brahman exhibits his effulgence, and therefore everything becomes illuminated. We can understand from Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti, or the Brahman effulgence, emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord. And from the Brahman effulgence, all creation takes place. It is further stated in Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is also the support of the Brahman effulgence. Originally, he is the root cause of everything. But persons who are less intelligent think that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes within the material world, he accepts the material qualities. Such conclusions are not very mature, but are made by the less intelligent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is directly and indirectly existing everywhere. He is outside this material creation, and he is also within it. He is within the material creation, not only as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he is also within the atom. Existence is due to his presence. Nothing can be separated from his existence. In the Vedic injunction, we find that the Supreme Soul, or the root cause of everything, has to be searched out because nothing exists independent of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, the material manifestation is also a transformation of his potency. Both inert matter and the living force, the soul, are emanations from him. Only the foolish conclude that when the Supreme Lord appears, he accepts the conditions of matter. Even if he appears to have accepted the material body, he is still not subjected to any material condition. Krishna has therefore appeared and defeated all imperfect conclusions about the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yaveti Tatvataha Chakva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Savarjana. He explains that his appearance and activities are transcendental, and that if we understand them, you know, in the proper way, then when it becomes time for us, you know, to leave our present material bodies, we will go to him. We will go to be with him in his eternal pastimes and his eternal abode. So that is the purpose of Krishna's appearance. So we should take advantage of this day, Krishna Janmashtami, to meditate very carefully on Krishna's appearance and try to understand it in the proper way. Because if we do that, this can be our last birth within the material world, at least our last forced birth. So, Sri Krishna Janmashtami Ki Jai. Any announcements? No? Okay. Okay, 24-hour kirtan should start now. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Illusory material body.